Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 14, Text 40. Kachin nabihato bhavai sabda divir amangalai na datam uktam artibhya asaya yat pratishrutam. Kachin nabihato bhavai. Kachin nabihato bhavai. Sabda dibir amangalai. Sabda dibir amangalai. Nadatam uktam artibhya. Nadatam uktam artibhya. Ashaya yat pratishrutam. Ashaya yat pratishrutam. Kachin nabihato bhavai. Sabda dibir amangalai. Nadattam uktam artibhya. Ashaya yat pratishrutam. Others? Kaschin nabihato bhavai. Shabdadi bir amangalai. Nadatam uktam artibhya. Ashaya yat pratishrutam. Vaishnavis. Kachin Whether. Na.
Could not.
Abhihata. Addressed by.
Abhavai.
Unfriendly. Shabda adibi. By sounds. Amangalai. Inauspicious.
Na.
Did not.
Datam.
Given charity.
Uktam.
Is said.
Artibya.
Unto one who asked.
Ashaya.
With hope.
Yat.
What?
Pratishrutam.
Promised to be paid.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Has someone addressed you with unfriendly words or threatened you? This is Maharaj Yudhisthira speaking to Arjuna, by the way. Has someone addressed you with unfriendly words or threatened you? Could you not give charity to one who asked, or could you not keep your promise to someone? Purport. A kshatriya, or a rich man, is sometimes visited by persons who are in need of money. When they are asked for a donation, it is the duty of the possessor of wealth to give in charity in consideration of the person, place, and time. If a kshatriya or a rich man fails to comply with this obligation, he must be very sorry for this discrepancy. Similarly, one should not fail to keep his promise to give in charity. These discrepancies are sometimes causes of despondency, and thus failing, a person becomes subjected to criticism, which might also be the cause of Arjuna's plight. Om aginata madam dasya jananjana shalakaya chakshuram melitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupakaramayam dadati swaparanti kam. Okay, so I'd like to start the class by making an apology for an analogy I used two classes ago where I compared Dhritarashtra to a disgruntled Gurukuli. And one Mataji who listens over the internet was kind enough to contact me and bring it to my attention that that was inappropriate. And I agree. So I apologize. I mean, Dhritarashtra was a bad actor throughout his entire life, whereas these, you know, the Gurukulis who were abused physically, emotionally, sexually, were innocent victims, and they deserve, you know, to be thought of in a very sympathetic way. And so it was, you know, it was an insensitive analogy. And I mean, we may not agree with the way some of them, a select few, responded to what happened to them, but it's understandable that they could respond like that. And in any event, you know, it was an inappropriate analogy. So I hope that's an adequate apology. And Hare Krishna. So, as far as today's verse goes, so this is, as I said, Maharaj Yudhisthira is speaking, and he's speaking to Arjuna. And he's asking Arjuna whether somebody addressed him with unfriendly words or threatened him. And Prabhupada doesn't talk about that in the purport, but he does talk about charity. And, you know, Maharaj Yudhisthira asked Arjuna, could you not give charity to one who asked, or could you not keep your promise to someone to give in charity? So, charity is meant to be given by kshatriyas, certainly, grihasthas, and particularly kshatriyas, because kshatriyas generally are in possession of wealth, but not just willy-nilly. You know, the first place we get instructed about charity is in the 10th chapter, extensively in any event. It's the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 5, where Krishna mentions that it's one of the qualities that's created by him. There, Prabhupada says in his purport, there are certain qualities, good and bad, that are created by Krishna. So charity is one of them. And Prabhupada makes it really clear in that one paragraph where he talks about charity, that charity is to be given to persons who are engaged in Krishna consciousness. As I said, there's a paragraph. It's about like
16 lines long. And six times in that paragraph, Prabhupada makes it really clear who charity is supposed to be given to. He says, thus charity should be given to a person who is engaged in Krishna consciousness. Charity should be given to a Brahman. Charity should be given to Brahmanas. A few lines down, charity should be given to Brahmanas. Charity is offered to Brahmanas. Charity is awarded to one in the renounced order of life, the sannyas. Hence, charity is to be given to the renounced of life, to the Brahmanas. So, charity is meant to be given to a qualified person. The qualified persons are Brahmanas, people in the renounced order of life. In general, people who are engaged in the propagation of Krishna consciousness, the advancement of spiritual culture. So those are the proper recipients of charity. And if you give charity to other people, people not in that category, there's a reaction for that. Not only you're not doing something that's going to help elevate you or elevate that person, but you're going to get a reaction for inappropriate charity. So it's good to understand who charity should be given to. Then another consideration here in the towards the end of the purport, Prabhupada talks about these discrepancies are sometimes if somebody's fails to give charity or fails to give a promise that they made to give charity. These discrepancies are sometimes causes of despondency, and thus failing, a person becomes subjected to criticism, which might also be the cause of Arjuna's plight. So in other words, Mahajudhisthira is asking Arjuna, did you do something wrong? That's another consideration. The specific application here is charity. Did you fail to give charity? Did you fail, etc.? But in general, a devotee has a particular way to responding to if he does something wrong, if he feels he did something wrong, and that is nicely described in the also here in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I found a passage. We might have already read this. We might have gone through this already. Where it's talking about, it's describing how Maharaj Prickett felt after he realized what he had done. How he had put the garland of the sage. He was in meditating with the dead snake like that. So I'll read the couple sentences from the purport where Prabhupada talks about the mood or the attitude of a devotee when he realizes he's done something wrong. Purport. Oh, it's actually translation. Suta Goswami speaking says, while returning home, the king, Maharaj Prickett, felt that the act he had committed against the faultless and powerful Brahmana was heinous and uncivilized. Consequently, he was distressed. Prabhupada's purport. The pious king regretted his accidental, improper treatment of the powerful Brahmana, who was faultless. Such repentance is natural for a good man like the king. And such repentance delivers a devotee from all kinds of sins accidentally committed. The devotees are naturally faultless. Accidental sins committed by a devotee are sincerely regretted. And by the grace of the Lord, all sins unwillingly committed by a devotee are burnt in the fire of repentance. So that's a good instruction there, that when a devotee realizes he's done something wrong, he should feel regret and make some amends, make an attempt to be repentant in some way. And it's pointed out that by the grace of the Lord, that sins unwillingly committed by a devotee are burnt in the fire of repentance. So repentance is purifying for a devotee. Then the third point that was Prabhupada kind of talks about in this verse here in the purport, and it's really the main point of the purport. It's expressed in one word, duty. Duty. It's talking about, basically, Maharaj Yudhisthira is inquiring from Arjuna, did you fail to perform your duty? Once again, the specific application in this case is, did you fail to give in charity? But it's a much broader, obviously, subject. Everybody has their duty. A kshatriya has many duties. One is to give in charity. Another is to protect the innocent, etc., etc. Brahmanas have their duties, which are different from the duties of a kshatriya. And Vaishyas have their duties. They're meant to protect the cows. Brahmins are meant to disseminate higher knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Sudras have a duty. They're meant to assist the three higher castes like that. Women have a duty, etc., etc. In every different aspect of the social order. People have duties, and we also have a duty. You know, we're not exempt from that. We're disciples, and as disciples, we have a duty to first and foremost to obey the instructions of the spiritual master. That's the first and foremost duty of a disciple. And if we do that, we're immensely benefited. And if we don't do that, and I'll read an excerpt from a lecture Prabhupada gave in Hawaii in 1976, we're the ones that are, we're the ones that are hurt most, you know. And it's like, if we as disciples, if we neglect our duty to follow the instructions of the spiritual master, it's not Krishna that's losing, it's not Prabhupada that's losing, or our spiritual maya that's losing. The person who's losing is the person who's not performing that duty. Anyway, so I'm going to read this excerpt from a lecture Prabhupada gave in Hawaii, 1976, where he really nicely describes this point. This is a paragraph leading into the, you know, talking about that. And this actually will tie in with the previous thing we were talking about, charity. Ironically, it just happens to be work out like that. So anyway, Prabhupada says, so our main problem is sex life. Because sex life is the basic principle of material life. Either you're a human being, or a demigod, or a bird, or you're a beast, or a fly, or a fish, or a tree, plants, everything. The basic principle of material life is sex. Pumsam stidya mituni bhavam etat tayor mitu ridaya granti mahu. Everything is there. You have, and I was explaining, preaching to the devotees, everything is there. You've got books. Study, follow the practice, be a little sober. It is not that you will not be able, you'll be able, and Krishna will help. As soon as you are very eager, then Krishna will help. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam. So here's the part that I found particularly interesting, where Prabhupada says, so therefore the deity worship is there. Along with deity worship, we should always pray, Krishna, kindly save me from the pitfalls of maya. He'll do it. But if we want to cheat Krishna, if we want to cheat Guru, then you'll be cheated. That's all. So if we don't perform our duty, Krishna's not cheated. The spiritual master's not cheated. We're cheated. So, yeah. The Guru will not be cheated. Neither Krishna will be cheated. You'll be cheated. That's all. If you want to be cheated, then do whatever you like and prolong this term, your term of repetition of birth and death. And if you want to stop it, then here, tapasya brahmacharjena, samena cha damena cha chyagena. Now here, as I said, inadvertently it ties into the other point that's mentioned in this purport about charity. Chyagena. Prabhupada says, this is also one of the tapasya. Don't keep with you anything. Then you will make plan. He's referring to money. Then you will make plan. Let me have illicit sex. Let me have intoxication. As soon as you have got money, best thing, immediately you spend it for Krishna. Tyagena, charity. Charity. Tyagena means charity. Not that you starve, though. That kind of, you keep yourself fit to execute Krishna consciousness, but don't keep much money. Immediately give in charity to Krishna. Krishna can take your charity as much as you can give. So that's an interesting instruction there. And it's, as I said, it's kind of tied in with the previous point, but it's making that point that if we don't, everybody has a duty, and if we don't do our duty, which as disciples is to follow the instruction of the spiritual master, we're the losers. You know, Prabhupada doesn't lose, the spiritual master doesn't lose, Krishna, we're the ones who miss out. And we have to be very honest and sincere about it. Somebody might be thinking, well, okay, you know, I took this vow to follow the regulative principles, and, I'm not going to break that. I'm not going to engage in illicit sex. I'm not going to engage in intoxication or, you know, gambling or whatever, meat eating. You know, but what's the harm if I think about it a bit? You know, it's not going to kill anybody if I think about sense gratification a bit. I mean, I'm not going to do it, but at least I could, you know, it takes the edge away. I could think about it. I could just fantasize or, you know, contemplate. It doesn't work like that. doesn't work like that. In the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, Krishna explains, Jayato Vishayan Pumsam Sangat Teshu Pajayate, Sangat Sanjayate Kama, Kama Krodha Pajayate. That when you contemplate the objects of the senses, you develop attachment from attachment, lust develops from lust, anger arises like that. So in other words, it's like playing with fire. You get sucked in. It's like quicksand. You know, you get in a little bit and you just keep. The more you associate it with, the further you got drawn in. Actually, there's a very good analogy of how it works given in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the instruction of the Kumaras. We'll be hearing it probably in a few weeks or something. Kumaras to Maharaj Prithu. He compares the thinking about sense gratification. He gives a nice analogy to like a lake. And all around the lake, there's reeds, you know, high grass, right around the perimeter of the lake. And he makes the point that if you don't cut down these reeds that are around the lake, they suck out all the water that's in the lake and they'll dry it out. I'll read you. This is kind of printed it out from the fourth canto. So this is the four Kumaras speaking to Maharaj Prithu. It says, as a result of continually thinking of sense objects, one's real consciousness almost becomes lost, like the water in a lake that is gradually sucked up by the big grass straws on its bank. And Prabhupada says in the purport, the example given here is very appropriate. If a big lake is covered all around by long kusa grass, just like columns, the water dries up. Similarly, when the big columns of material desire increase, the clear water of consciousness is dried up. See, you don't get away with it, in other words. If you're going to think about sense gratification, what's going to happen is the clear water of your consciousness is going to be dried up. You're not going to be able to, if you unfortunately become absorbed in thinking about Maya, then you're not going to be able to think about Krishna. Therefore, these columns of kusa grass, or of material desire, should be cut or thrown away from the very beginning. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructed that if from the very beginning we do not take care of unwanted grass in the paddy fields, it's referring to material desires there, the fertilizing agents or water will be used by them and the paddy plants or our creeper will dry up. Like that. It goes on to say, material desire for sense enjoyment is the cause of our fall down in this material world, and thus we suffer the threefold miseries of continuous birth, death, old age, and disease. However, if we turn our desires toward the transcendental loving service of the Lord, our desires become purified. And this is important here. We cannot kill desires. We have to purify them, etc. Okay, so it's making the point that you can't be free from desire. Desire is going to be there. It's not like, you know, you could just kind of bite your lip there's an expression from World War One or two, bite the bullet. You know, that doesn't work. Just kind of like, I'm not going to do it. But you have to know. You have to cultivate a desire to serve Krishna. And, you know, that could be something very glorious and difficult, like going on traveling Sankirtan or whatever. It could be something as simple as chanting Hare Krishna. You know, if you cultivate a desire to chant Hare Krishna, that's a desire to serve Krishna. You know, I mean, that's the most basic of all devotional activities, the chanting of Hare Krishna. You know, there's this expression, go back to basics. So I looked that up on the internet, what that meant, and it said it means to simplify and to focus on the fundamental principle. So the most fundamental principle of Krishna consciousness is always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And Prabhupada says in the Nectar Devotion that Lord Chaitanya has given us an authorized process to help us achieve that, you know, that purpose, for that purpose, which is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, you know, chanting Hare Krishna seriously is a devotional service, and just cultivating the desire to chant well is sufficient. That will help us get rid of all these columns of material desire. And here in Los Angeles, I don't know what year it was, probably about early 70s, a very interesting conversation took place up in Prabhupada's quarters. Prabhupada was up there and with a few of his disciples. One was Vishnu John. And so he asked this question of Prabhupada. He addressed this point about, you know, how does one combat Maya? And anyway, I'll read it to you. It's very enlightening. And this is very practical instruction, very simple, and it might be one of the most important, especially for the new devotees, important things, instructions you've heard since you come to Krishna consciousness. This is very practical and very important. So Vishnu John asks, he says, how will it be possible, Prabhupada, for a man whose mind is clouded to constantly chant Hare Krishna? A man who's always thinking thoughts about family, friends, country, nation. In other words, somebody's in Maya. Okay, how are they going to constantly chant Hare Krishna? So this was Prabhupada's answer. Prabhupada said, yes, think of, meaning referring to, go ahead, think of those things. At the same time, chant. He goes, two things will go on, meaning the thinking about sense gratification and the chanting of Hare Krishna. The two things will go on simultaneously. But Prabhupada says, and this will conquer, referring to the chanting of Hare Krishna. And then he laughs. He chuckled and says, as Maya is forcing you to drag you from this Krishna consciousness, you also force Maya by chanting Hare Krishna. He said, there is fight. So it's not like it's, you know, it's not a cakewalk. Prabhupada says, there is fight. You know, Maya is going to always be kind of trying to entice us. Anyway, Prabhupada says, and Maya will go away. And then he quotes the very famous verse from the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 14. Can any of our new devotees quote that for us? 7:14? Any of the bhaktas? Yeah, do you know the translation? Okay, that's great. Somebody's studying and learning shlokas. Thank you very much. That was cool. So Prabhupada quotes that verse and he says, this Maya is very strong. She'll force you to entice you to the other path. But if you do not stop, if you chant loudly, ... And then he goes and he relates the story of Haridas Thakur. He says, just like Haridas Thakur was chanting and Maya could not victimize him. You know that. What was his stand? And it was like, what was it? What was he taking shelter of? What was his stand? Prabhupada says, simply chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Maya could not entice. Maya failed. Maya became his disciple. He did not become Maya's disciple. So Prabhupada says, this is tug of war. Everybody's played that as a kid, right? Tug of war. So Prabhupada said, this is tug of war. Don't be afraid of Maya. Simply enhance chanting and you'll be conqueror. That's all. Narayana parasarve na kutaschana bidyati. We are not afraid of Maya because Krishna is there. Yes. Krishna says, kunteya pratijanahi name bhakta pranashati. You just declare. He's telling Arjuna, my devotee will never be vanquished by Maya. Maya cannot do anything. Simply, you have to become strong. And he goes, and what is that strength? Chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada says, loudly. And he says, yes. So twice he said, chant, you know, chanting and loudly. So that's it. So that's our weapon to combat Maya. You know, the focused and loud chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So anybody have any questions or comments? Yeah, Prema Sankirtan.
Hare Krishna. In one letter on lecture, Prabhupada said, it's okay to look in a woman, but not by in total sense gratification. So you know, in Sankirtan, we met so many women, you see, girls, nice looking. So how you keep it, your Sankirtan devotee, do you have some experience how to, you know, how can I say, make line between look at a woman, just because Prabhupada said it's okay to look at a woman, Krishna's creation, and at the same time is danger to feel sense gratification, desire for sense gratification. So how you deal with that, how you make this line between these two?
Yeah. Well, a couple of practical suggestions is the No Second Look Club. Probably heard that one. That many experienced Sankirtan devotees recommend that, you know, if you see a woman and you feel attracted, I mean, then don't look a second. I mean, you can't help see it the first time because, but as soon as you realize, whoops, I'm feeling agitated, and don't look again. And if you're at a table though, and some woman comes up, and you know, then there's nothing you could do. But then you just, you know, have to keep a tight leash on your mind and be sober. You know, just be, don't make jokes, and you know, don't do things to kind of aggravate the situation, aggravate your own mind, so to speak. You know, you just have to be careful, basically. It's not rocket science. It's very it's very easy to figure out what to do, but it, I mean, it's hard to do it. But you know, that's the challenge of being a preacher and a Sankirtan devotee, book distributor particularly, and a preacher in general. Hare Krishna. Anybody else? Yeah, I'm Bhakti Maharaj. Sure.
Again, thank you for a nice class, and thanks for a nice question, Prabhuji. There are some things that can be done. They can be done quite quickly. First of all, when you see a pretty woman, your mother is also maybe a pretty woman or not a pretty woman, but you think that why would you want to react or respond in a sexually interested way if it was your mother? Because your mother is known for things which are of a non-sexual nature, caring for you, helping you, guiding you, commiserating with you when you have difficulties. So it's on a different level. So that's the first thing. The woman can be my mother, you know, just because she's wearing a skirt and so forth. But mother means something very definite, and it changes the cast of your thinking immediately. The second thing is if you can't think of your mother, then you can think of actually what this form that you're attracted to is really about. As Prabhupada mentioned so often, well, there's blood, there's bile, there's urine, there's stool, and there's pus, and all of these different substances are in that. And all you're seeing is the external, but there's more to the internal. So if you see the, and I'm not saying that woman is just that, which I just said, but is a combination of many things, and some of those other things, if you think about them, you don't want to you won't find attractive. You're only attractive because you're seeing the external or superficial aspect, you know, beautiful lipstick and eyebrows and all of these different things, figure, so forth. So we need to train the mind, actually, to see the reality, to see what it is. And then once you've caught that, then you can move on, because then you don't stop. You don't consent to going further in your contemplation of that object.
Yeah, thanks. That's a really Shastric answer, both those points. Because, you know, I mean, it clearly says many places in Prabhupada's books, one should see all women other than one's wife as mother. And I can't remember where exactly in the Bhagavatam it is, but that other point you were making about, you know, what's underneath the surface, that's also described. I can't remember which canto it is, but that's there in some section of the Bhagavatam as well. Thank you. That was a really good addition. Guranga Prang? Just saw his hand first, sorry.
Thank you, Prabhupada, for the wonderful class. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he was talking about charity. So that reminds me one of the lectures of my Guru Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He was saying that there are three types of charities. Charities in the modes of ignorance, charities in the modes of passionate, and charity in the modes of goodness. You know, charity in the mode of ignorance means whoever comes to you and asks you for some charity, you just give charity to him without considering his cause. So that charity will, like you said, will bring us some bad reactions, bad karma. And charity in the passionate means, when you go to the temple or church, you are giving some charity, thinking that you are going to get some reward. This is like a kind of business. Like in China, many people will go to the Buddhist temple, and they will give lots of charities. At the same time, they are praying to Lord Buddha or to bless them, to get more money or a beautiful wife or high position in the societies, like that. And the last is, charity in the mode of goodness. That means you are giving charities, for spreading Krishna consciousness or God consciousness. And actually, this charity will give you thousands and thousands, reward,
Yeah.
Because this charity will take you back to Godhead.
Yeah, charity in the mode of goodness is, it's purifying, it's elevating.
Right.
So that's, and that was the point Prabhupada was making in the paragraph in the 10th chapter. Yeah.
Thank you for a wonderful class, Prabhu. You were explaining that charity should be given to brahmanas. But
brahmanas, sannyasis, and people who are spreading Krishna consciousness.
But we could also say that we are giving charity to conditioned souls in the form of prasadam and books. So is that kind of like a...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like... Archit, I'll let Archit, he's got his hand up. Let him.
That's not charity. That's mercy.
Okay.
When somebody in a higher position gives something to somebody in a lower position, that's mercy. That's not considered charity. Specifically, when you're spreading Krishna consciousness. Seva goes up and daya mercy comes down. So when you go out in the mood of distributing books, prasadam, whatever, then that's not really charity. That's mercy. You're distributing the mercy of Krishna. Prasadam means mercy. And you're representing Krishna, so that's not considered charity like we have been discussing.
Thank you. Good clarification. Amala Bhakti Maharaj. Oh, Sachidanoy had his hand. Let's you want to do? Okay. Ask a question, Sachidanoy.
Prabhu, this is a comment. Is that okay?
Okay, yeah.
In that question that Vishnu Jain Maharaj asked to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada gave the answer, saying that constant fight, both goes together, Maya and Krishna.
Tug of war, yeah.
Krishna and Maya, like a war. I just, it's a personal example that I'm giving that happened to me. It's a little bit embarrassing, maybe for me, a little bit, but I'm going to say it because it fits. So I was a brahmachari, and in those crazy dreams that you get at night, a woman came and we have an appointment and we have to meet. So I'm walking to, and I'm saying, no, I cannot do this. I'm a brahmachari, I'm a devotee, I'm trying to be a devotee. Krishna, 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 please help me. I'm chanting really loud, but at the same time I'm walking. And then I thought, wait a minute, Krishna, you're not helping me. Please help me. So I'm going, and the door is right there where the appointment's supposed to be. I'm knocking at the door, Krishna, and you're not doing anything for me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, this person is going to open the door, and that's it, I'm finished. So then, suddenly, just when the person is going to open the door, I can hear the alarm clock came. Ring, Mongol Arati time. So, I'm just saying that somehow or other, there was, in my estimation, I'm just making my conclusion that somehow Krishna prevailed, it came.
That's what Prabhupada's saying here is what will happen. If we just take shelter of the Maha Mantra, then, as Prabhupada said, we'll be the conqueror. We'll come out victorious in that battle against Maya. Thank you. Amala Bhakti Maharaj.
Sometimes a devotee may get the wrong idea in that as it was mentioned, that ideally charity should be given to persons who are devotees, who will thus use that charity for further spiritual advancement, which will not only advance him or her, but to actually the whole world gets advanced as a result of his using that, maybe to buy a book, or maybe to buy a japa bag, maybe to buy beads, or whatever it is. But we also have to remember that, for example, a person may approach you in the street, and they're obviously not a devotee, but they're very poor, and they're very sort of broken down, and approaches you, because I had this experience that happened by the post office on Motor Avenue, and this woman, she obviously seemed to be impoverished, and she said to me, you know, I haven't eaten all day, and could you give me some money? So the first question I asked myself is, what is she going to use it? Is she going to buy drugs with it? Or is she going to do something? Or is that a true story? So I said to her that, well, are you very hungry? She said, yes. I said, well, come with me. We'll go across the street, and I'll buy you a cheese sandwich. Is that okay? She said, yeah. So I went over across the street, ordered a cheese sandwich, lettuce, tomatoes, and just Swiss cheese, whatever it is. She said, that's fine. So then they brought it over.
Did you offer it in your mind?
Huh?
Did you offer it in your mind?
No.
That's okay.
I didn't offer it. The first thing is I was concerned about her hunger. That was my chief concern. So, and also that it would be used properly. So even though she may have been slovenly, or she may have been low class, or she may have been even an atheist, my concern was that she was a human being. She had a need, and I could help that need. That's what's being mentioned. And even though she may not be a devotee of the Lord, she still deserves to eat, because when she receives that from you, she receives that charity. And if you mention to her, you know, by the way, I'm a Hare Krishna devotee. I chant Hare Krishna. So when you're eating, every time you swallow, chant Hare Krishna, you'll get a double benefit. Okay? Okay, bye-bye. End of story.
Real quick. I seem to remember hearing that Prabhupada actually... You know, this is an anecdote. They were in India someplace, and they were walking along, and Prabhupada told the devotees to give charity to some beggars. And then the devotees were a little bit bewildered, because they thought, wait a second, Prabhupada, we don't give charity to do it. And Prabhupada says, okay, if they're there and they're sitting and they're acting, you know, not like hassling you or something like that, they're just sitting. He said, it's okay to do that. And he actually had, you know, on another occasion, maybe the same occasion, instructed devotees to take out like a bag of small coins for that purpose. And he quoted his spiritual masters having said that if you don't do that, you become hard-hearted. Yeah, so there is some precedent for that. You know, if somebody's asking, even they're not a devotee, it's not, you don't, but they've been doing it in an appropriate way, then it's okay to, it's actually recommended to give something. Yeah.
Things are kind of different for me, being born in the movement, but I've always felt that it's so much easier to treat conditioned souls when they're at the temple, as opposed to seeing them like outside of the temple. And are we supposed to consider, like, you know, this is Krishna's mercy, this person is at the temple to become a devotee, or are we supposed to treat them as like someone that we would run into outside? Because it's because when you see them here, like Sunday feast, for example, like these are people that they come, but they're still living a different life. You know what I mean? But it just feels a little bit more comfortable seeing them, you know, under Krishna's mercy. As far as being around in the temple environment, it's easier to deal with them, as opposed to a lot of them I probably personally wouldn't deal with. Okay. I was saying, being at the temple, being around people outside of the community, when they come to the temple, has been easier to associate or give association to, as opposed to meeting them outside of the temple.
Okay. I'm not sure I'm perfectly understanding your question, but I'd like to say this. People who come to the temple, we should, mentally at least, we should be giving them a big benefit of the doubt.
It takes some special qualification to be allowed. You don't come to the temple. You're allowed to come to the temple. You're allowed. You know, Krishna, Super Soul, is allowing you to come to the Hare Krishna temple. And I'll just tell you one really short story that illustrates this point. I was in Sydney, Australia, back many years ago, and at one point I was on a program called Contract Sales, where my service was. I was working with another couple of devotees, and we were trying to sell sets of books. So I remember being at the Sunday feast at King's Cross. That's where the temple was, and the lecture was finished, and they didn't have a prasadam room. What happened was, after the lecture was finished, everybody, all the guests, just lined up. They used to do it here in Los Angeles too. Sat along the wall and sat in, you know, and waited for the prasadam to be served out. And I would stand there, you know, after the class, and I'd look around the room, and I was looking at the people, and I'd go, man, you know, there's nobody here who's going to take a set of books. I mean, look at these people. They're not people that take a set. And I would sit down and take prasadam. But the devotee who I was working with, his name was Gopinath Acharya. He no longer passed away a couple of years ago. Incredible devotee. He didn't think like that. He went around. He had his little notebook, and those very same people. He went around, and he kind of kneeled down in front of each one of them, you know, met them, asked their name, you know, chatted them up a little bit, got their contact information, wrote it down in the notebook. He sold sets of books. So it really showed me something, you know, that, well, first of all, it showed me that you have the desire, you have to have the enthusiasm in Krishna reciprocates, but at the same time, these people, there was some, obviously, it takes two to tango, there was some sincerity there. People who come to the temple are not ordinary. You know, you got to be very careful not to, you know that expression, don't judge a book by its cover. Don't judge a person by the appearance, or try not to. It's a natural tendency to do that, but we have to really try not to do that. Just like last night, I was sitting at a table. There was one fellow, he was here for the first time, so I followed him, and we took prasadam together. And then this other lady came and sat down at the same table. She was older. She kind of, you know, she could have been a homeless person, but I don't think she was. But I just decided, no, don't judge the person by the appearance. Just say, you know, ask her, hey, are you here for the first time? Just, you know, be polite, be respectful, and make some conversation. So I did, and it worked out. She, you know, is a very intelligent, educated person, and it's totally different than the impression my first impression. So just another example of that. You got to really get past your mind. And you know that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Vijavanaya Sampane Brahmani Havi Gavi Hastini Suni Chaiva Sapakecha Pandita Samadarshana. The pandit has Samadarshana, tries to see with equal vision, tries to see, you know, the spiritual qualification of the person, rather than just judging on the appearance like that. So that's an important thing to do. Try to do that at the temple and outside the temple too. It's not, as I said, it's easier said than done, but it's something worth trying to practice and, you know, cultivate. Anyway, I'll stop there. It's getting late. Thank you. Grunto Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.